The scripture reading for this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it is on the back of the devotional. I'll also be reading the quote from the inside. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And the quote from the inside from Pastor Tim, it is God's law that enables us to experience genuine humanity, and it is God's spirit that enables us to experience God's law.
I was given the call to the ministry 17 years ago this month. And my call was about a very particular thing for God's people, for the people of God. And the message that the Spirit has dropped into my heart, which I wrote between Cleveland and Las Vegas on the airplane, we had a 4-hour flight. And while I'm on that plane, this message came to me. And I said to Teresa, I said, you got a piece of paper? And she handed me a notebook paper. And just there on the plane, I wrote this message out. And I'm telling you, this is going to come with conviction for you. You know why? Because it came with conviction to me. So therefore, that's going to spill over to you. What is the purpose of our faith? I'm going to ask that rhetorically. You answer it in your own head. You think right now, how would you answer that? What's the purpose of our faith? That's what came to me October, 17 years ago. And the Spirit said to me, the purpose of our faith can't just be about going to heaven when we die kind of theology. And I hope that I'm able to deliver this with the excitement and with the passion that the Spirit has dropped into my spirit over this. And the Spirit led me to this verse in Romans. And I understand Nelson last week, when I understand, I also listened to it, that Nelson touched on this, began on this. Isn't that, Nelson, what do you think of that? It's, well, here's what you think about it is that the Spirit is leading us both. There it is. Because Nelson and I didn't confer. He just came to me and he said, this is what I'm going to do. And I said, unbelievable. He said, that's where I'm going. So the Spirit led me to this verse in Romans. You see it on the back of your devotional there. Now, I want you to all key in on this verse, if you would, please. This is Paul. And after a long treatise in Romans, and he comes to this very, what I call, for God's people, in my opinion, this is the most succinct scripture that defines the purpose of our salvation. To me, this is it. And we had a prayer request about this morning, didn't we? Someone, a young woman battling with this very thing. And here's what it is. Do not be conformed to this age. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The purpose of our faith is that we are transformed. The purpose of our faith is not primarily that we will go to heaven when we die, although we will. Is this tracking? The purpose of our faith is so that we're transformed. How? How are we transformed? Look at that. By the renewing of your mind. Why? Why, Paul? And how is that done, Paul? So, well, here's why, first of all. So that, that's all Paul writes. And whenever Paul says so that, I always circle it. Here's, he makes a statement, and then he explains why he just made the statement. That's how you read scripture. So that you, the transformed one, may do something. So that you may discern what is the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. And here's something that the Spirit told me and taught me about this. I've heard this verse many, many, many times. It's good for you. It's pleasing for you. And it's perfect for you as well as God. Why transformation instead of being conformed to this age? Because you experience who you most deeply are. You experience, and you will step back after transformation and you will say this, "For this I came." Because there is something that is good, and there is something that is pleasing, and there is something that is perfect, that only a transformed ray can do. And when Ray discovers that, through his transformation, he experiences something good and something pleasing and something perfect. He latches on to it. Have you had moments like that? Isn't it wonderful? When you just get glimpses of God's purpose for your life? I maintain this. The enemy cannot stop us from being reborn. The enemy, I don't think the enemy can dissuade, but I don't think he can stop that. Now, once a person is reborn, here's where he zeroes in. That's right, Dan. Here's where he zeroes in. Stop your transformation. And get you to be conformed. This is convicting for me, and I'll tell you why. I know a lot of Scripture. I know a lot about Scripture. I read Scripture a lot. But here's the crux of it. Are those activities just for me to gain information? Or are those activities transforming me? Am I becoming the image of God through that practice? Or am I just reading Scripture because I like to study Scripture, which I do? I like to study Scripture. I like to study theology. But that is not the end. You see, that is not the goal. And it can become the goal. Making sense? Yeah, I mean, it can get that way. I know men and women who know Scripture, who know theology, and yet there's something obviously lacking in them. There's no transformation that has occurred in them. Do you want something good and pleasing and perfect in your life? You know, we're all looking for that. Renew your mind. Let the Spirit renew your mind. Boy, this is a battle. This is such a problem. I think it's such a problem in the church. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. Am I surprised about the number here today? Let me tell you, I'm not surprised a bit. Not one bit. Because this is so important, and the enemy will not abide this message. What he wants is he wants you to say what you think you should say and do what you think you should do and accept an invitation to receive Christ as your Savior, and then he wants you to just go on your way and join the world and be conformed to this age. That's what he wants. But what the enemy cannot stand is when God's people, serious-minded God's people, undergo transformation by their minds being renewed. He cannot allow that. Now listen to this exchange. See what you think about this. This came to me on the plane. Any of you ever seen The Matrix? Seen The Matrix? Allegorical. And you know what's amazing about that movie? The brothers that made that movie, I forget their name. Nathan? Some kind of, well, it doesn't matter. The brothers that made that movie say that they did not intend that. They did not intend it to be allegorical. See how God works? And God has turned that into really a very, very powerful allegorical story. And here's an exchange that takes place. Neo is the one in this movie. Neo is Jesus Christ in the movie. And Morpheus, his mentor, is the Holy Spirit. And they're having this exchange. And Neo is being trained by Morpheus. Who's seen this? Who's seen it? Who hasn't seen it? Oh, okay. Well, you know where you're going this week. Netflix, right? You're going to dial that thing up. Now, there's some rough parts in it. Okay, there's some rough parts on it. But overall, I think it's very beneficial. So Morpheus and Neo are having this conversation. And Neo is being trained by Morpheus because Morpheus is trying to make, well, spoiler alert, I guess I should say. Morpheus is trying to get Neo to understand who he is. And they have this exchange. Neo says to Morpheus, "What are you telling me? That I'll be able to dodge bullets?" And Morpheus says, "No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready..." Well, first of all, that sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it? I mean, to me, it sounds pretty good that you would be able to dodge bullets. Now, we're out there in the world, and there's bullets coming at us, aren't there? There's bullets coming at God's people. The bullets of temptation, the bullets of self-indulgence, the bullets of conformity to this world. Those are the bullets that are coming at us. And I think it would be pretty good. I mean, to be able to dodge bullets is fantastic. What if our faith offered more? You're going to get excited about this. Because, see, Neo was thinking, and a lot of God's people think, this faith will allow me and give me the tools to be able to dodge those bullets. And that sounds good. That's a particular level. And Neo is there. He thinks, wow, I'll be able to dodge all these bullets that are coming at me. The Holy Spirit, Morpheus says, "No, Neo." And the Holy Spirit says to you and to me, God's people, here's what he says: "No, you don't understand. That when you're ready, you won't have to." How's that sound to you? Do you know how much energy is expended by God's people trying to dodge those bullets? And our faith can be relegated to what Dallas Willard would call the gospel of sin management. Just manage the sins in your life. You're going to have such good reflexes that you're going to be able to dodge the bullets of self-indulgence and the bullets of sin and the bullets of conformity of this age. I mean, and we think, great, that's what our faith is about. It's going to equip me to be able to dodge those bullets. And the Holy Spirit comes along. This is Romans 8, by the way. I had to remix it because, you know, I actually felt sorry for you all 2 weeks ago. I felt sorry for the congregation when I left because I went home and I said to Teresa, I don't think I could have made that any more confusing. I don't think I could have made it any more boring or any more torturous than I did. And so I said, you know, I've got to get Romans 8 into a different mix. So I am, the Matrix. So Morpheus says to Neo, you don't understand. You won't have to dodge those bullets. And the Holy Spirit says to us through Paul in Romans 8, you don't understand. You don't have to. You won't have to dodge those bullets. And then Morpheus goes on. He says, Neo, I'm trying to free your mind. I'm trying to free your mind. And Paul says, it's about mindset. In Romans 8, he said it's about mindset. Those according to the flesh think about things of the flesh, and those according to the flesh actually become enslaved. Their minds become enslaved, like Dan's prayer request today. How exquisitely appropriate. And so Paul says in Romans 8, no, it's not about that. It's not about dodging the bullets. It's about having a mindset of the Spirit, where you won't have to dodge the bullets. And then Morpheus says, I'm trying to free your mind. And then he says something that, listen, we got to listen to. He says, I can show you the door, but you have to walk through it. And then Morpheus says this. There's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. I'll bet everybody here knows the path. I know it very well. You do, don't you? You know the path. But Morpheus says to Neo, I can show you the door, and you can even know the path. You can know the path to salvation. You can know what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Morpheus says, but you've got to walk that path which takes you through this door, and on the other side of that door, Neo, is an existence where you won't have to dodge bullets. Now, I'm going to explain why you don't have to dodge bullets. You won't have to dodge bullets. On the other side of this door, Paul says in Romans 8, is an existence, is a way to become genuinely human, where you are free. You enter the glorious freedom of God's children. Are you tired of dodging bullets? And maybe you're good at it. What if there's another level? And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's another level. Okay, spoiler alert again, but I'm going to have to give this. We understand what Morpheus is talking about at the end of the movie. Neo realizes who he is. And the agents, the enemy, the demons in that movie, the agents they're called, they got him point blank. They've got their guns. They've got him point blank. He's in a hallway and he can't escape. And they pull out their guns and fire at him. And all of these bullets come whizzing at Neo. And he just stands there. And as the bullets get closer and closer and closer to Neo, they slow down, slow down, slow down. They get close to Neo, and they just drop to the floor. Is there another level of experiencing our faith now where the bullets of self-indulgence, the bullets of conformity to this world, the bullets of sin simply drop away from us? Think about that. Because I'm going to tell you something, dodging bullets is hardly genuine humanity to me. Is it to you? Don't see, we truncate our faith and we truncate God's ability. We truncate God's ability into just rehabilitating us so that we are nice people. And we're good people, and we're really good at dodging bullets, and I'm better at dodging bullets than you are at dodging bullets, so that makes me a better Christian. You know what that is? Paul talks about that. That's a mindset of the flesh. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, I can dodge those bullets. Why can't you? What's the matter with you? Because we put our energy into mobilizing our flesh to stay away from and not engage in these things, and we dodge them. What if we could have a transformation by renewing our minds so that the bullets come, and they're coming, and they drop away? They don't affect you. Impervious. Why didn't Jesus sin? You know why? He didn't want to. This is what I'm talking about. He didn't want to. Conversely, the Pharisees, the group that he hammered the most, were experts at dodging those bullets, and they were so proud of it. This is going to, I think I see spiritual wheels turning here. I'm encouraged by the feedback I'm getting from you right now. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, the definition and the interpretation of what it means to be human is up for grabs. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened in Genesis 3. The definition, God had a certain definition of humanity. Here's what it means to be genuinely human. And it's freeing. And it's paradise. And the enemy comes along and he says, here's what it means to be genuinely human. And the reason Adam and Eve were expelled from Eden is because this now reinterpreted definition of humanity was incompatible with paradise. Get that? The now reinterpreted human couldn't function, actually, couldn't function in paradise. The definition of what it means to be genuinely human is up for grabs. It's a civil war. Longstreet says to one of his generals in the Civil War, he says, here's where we're at, North and the South. He says, here's the problem. Different dreams. Different dreams. The North had an interpretation of what the United States was going to be, and the South had another interpretation of what the nation was going to be, and they had different dreams. They had different interpretations, and they both wanted their agendas to go forward so that their interpretation would be the right one. And the enemy, the same thing's happening now. The enemy, what Paul talks about here, conformity to this age, is the enemy's agenda. That if you find yourself in that queue, if you find yourself in the conformity to this age queue, and I'm going to define that over the next few weeks, and it is a slippery slope. If you find yourself in that queue, what you will do is you will actually end up with the enemy's interpretation of what it means to be human. And so the North and South come to death grips over this reinterpretation. No, our nation's going to be this way. No, the South says, no, our nation's going to be this way. We're going to interpret the United States, and that is the battle that we are in. Different dreams. Do you think God has hopes and aspirations for his world? He does. Paul talks about that. Paul says in Romans 8 that the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. Because then Paul says, because God has a hope. God has a hope. And the enemy, conversely, has a hope. The enemy wants to define what it means to be human. And he wants to foist that definition on you. And the Holy Spirit, Morpheus, has a design on what it means to be genuinely human. And he wants to foist that on you. And it will occur. Let me say this. There is no middle ground, and I'm going to stop here in a minute. You are either being conformed to the image of to this age, you are, or you're being transformed. You're in one queue or the other right now, today. Conformity to this age or transformed by the Holy Spirit. Transformed by what? How are we transformed? Huh? Renewing of our minds. Humanity right now, when we were expelled from Eden, get this. Humanity now, today, is in the wilderness wandering, trying to find a home. Look at what is going on. Humanity is being redefined. What it means to be human is being redefined. Everything is up for grabs. Everything. And we look at the original people of God, who are trapped in the sin and death of Egypt, who are in the conformity of Egypt, and they didn't even know what it meant to be human. You see what God is showing us through that? That echoes through the ages. God is saying to us today, if you get trapped in the sin and death of the age of your culture, like the original people of God were, you are headed for sin and death. That's it. That's all that they had in Egypt. And God shows us with that very powerful story that the only way to be released from that, and remember what Paul says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You didn't receive that. You're done with that. Because conformity to this age is slavery. And we look at the original people of God, and they come out of that culture. And God says, now here's what it means to be genuinely human. Here it is at Sinai. Here's what it means. But what the law could not do, Romans 8:3. What the law couldn't do. What was the law supposed to do, Paul? Well, it was supposed to give life. It was supposed to demonstrate genuine humanness. And Paul says, but it wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, because the material it had to work with was not transformed. And Teresa and I, as I'm writing this message, and the plane banks in to land at Las Vegas, had an experience there, which I'll talk about next week. But it put the cap on this message for me. Had an amazing experience. This was one day after the shooting that we landed there. So we want something good, we want something pleasing, and we want something perfect. And does that not define what God wants for his people? Versus the enemy's cue, the enemy's agenda, the enemy's definition, which ends in sin and death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this message, Lord. You have dropped this into my heart, and it is vital and important for God's people. pray for everyone here, Lord, that they would take this and study this and think about it this week. Amen.